Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Well, you know, prayer is so important. I just want to stress that a prayer is talking to the Lord. And my prayers have been answered over and over. I could write a book on how many times the Lord has answered my prayers. But the first step is to surrender. Surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. And even though the rain is falling, Lord, we know it's needed out there to change the seasons, and how blessed we are, Lord, that you woke us up this morning to enjoy the smells. And we just thank you and praise you that we're able to get up out of bed and walk and enjoy your wonderful, wonderful creation, Lord. Father, once again, I pray for those who've come through these doors here today. Lord, that they would hear the word, receive it into their heart, and use it. And Father, bless your people, Lord. Open up their ears and their hearts. I pray that today is someone's spiritual birthday. I pray, Lord, that they would use this day and this time to say, I just can't do it on my own, Lord. I need you. Open up their heart to you, Lord. Father, speak through Bill as he gives the word again today, and use it in a powerful way. Thank you for the food that we'll be receiving and all the clothing and everything that's free in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. All right, this is Bill, and he's going to give the word.
Good morning, Jesus Said Ministries. How's everybody today? Maybe a little damp, huh? Kind of wet out there this morning. Well, welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad you're here. We hope that you'll just take a few minutes and listen to what God might have to say to you. And if you do so, I think that He will encourage you. He will uplift you. He will set your feet on solid ground. He will put you on a path toward His righteousness, which will make you a happier person when you realize that it's not about you, but it's about living the life that you were designed to live. How many were here 2 weeks ago when I spoke? About half, maybe less than half. Okay, well, maybe I'll just repeat that message, Steve. But I want you to know God is continuously pursuing you. You know, some people I've often heard say, well, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, as long as you know that God is talking to you and God is convicting you of the things you're doing wrong, guess what? You haven't, and He's not done with you yet, and He's trying to get you restored in a relationship with Him. Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. So God is pursuing us, and today we're going to try to cover a few points. Again, a couple of weeks ago, we explained what true love meant, and we're going to talk about that just for a minute because I want to make sure everybody got that understanding down and it's clear. We got to understand that we have an enemy, and he has schemes, and he's messing up the world, and he wants to mess up you. And boy, I'll tell you, if we could stop listening to him, we'd be so far ahead. But here's one that people don't get, and I really want you to understand today. Do you know God does not hear all prayers? Do you know that God does not hear all prayers? We're going to talk about that one. And then, of course, we want to get to a point where it changes us, where we accept it and it transforms our lives. So let's just pray for a second. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, this is a wonderful opportunity to share your love and your word. Lord, we just want you to minister to those that are here, Lord. We want you to help them in their understanding. Remove all confusion. Remove all attacks from the enemy. Loose their ears now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they could hear the truth plainly. It could penetrate their hearts and they could be set free. Because God, we're all passing through this life. This is just a training ground for eternity. And we want to be ready to meet you. You say it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We're all going to stand before you and give account. I want the people in this room to be able to say, Jesus, I invited you into my heart and I live for you. And at that point in time, you'll say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant, enter in." May that be the place and the finished work of what you do here today in Jesus' name. Well, when I talked to you 2 weeks ago, we talked real quick about God's in constant pursuit. And we tend to waste our lives. And the reason we waste our lives is our number one problem is we love sin more than God. We love sin more than God. You know, there's a little narcissism in every person in this room. You know, that love for self, that self-gratification, that always wanting to have it your way. And that's not the way God designed us. That's the way the world wants us to live, and it doesn't have to be that way. And again, I talked to you about when you go to a funeral for someone that's lived a narcissistic life, that line, that procession is very, very short. Nobody comes to a funeral of somebody that never cared about anybody but themselves. Because at that point, all their friends are with them at that celebration. But it's not a celebration. It's a mourning for that person that's passed into eternity, and they probably didn't make it to heaven. And we don't want that to be our case with us. So again, we talked about Satan being a liar. Guys, I'm telling you, Satan, he's the liar, he's the deceiver, he's the accuser of the brethren, he's the one that tells you your worst case scenario. We're going to get into that a little bit more. But we got to understand in our culture today, we're continually taught that to love someone means to dote over them or to make them feel good or say, "Man, you look good this morning, brother." Well, some mornings you don't look so good, Paul. But some days you do. So I can't tell you every day you look good when you know some days you do and some days you don't. That'd be a lie, right? We got to be honest with each other. We got to build each other up. So I got to be willing to tell somebody when they're screwing up as much as I'm willing to tell somebody when they're doing something right. Because that's the end game here, and that's the challenge that we want. So again, Satan's the master of deception. You know, and I stop and I think about, you know, we look at things that are wonderful, whether it's the stars in the skies or the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, and we can't stand at those places and worship ourselves because we're captured by the beauty and the creation that God has made. And that's the same now, is that, you know, we got to realize it's not about us. God didn't make us to come to this earth and serve ourselves all our days of our life. He made us to come and serve and help each other. And you know, when you feel best about yourself is when you get your eyes off yourself. You know, you could be going through something that's absolutely catastrophic in your own life, but you have a friend that's going through something very similar. And you focus your attention on helping your friend. Why is it you always feel better about yourself? Why is it you always feel better about your circumstances? Because, see, that's true love, and that's how we were truly designed. But people miss out on that. So that's why we're messed up and why we don't understand things. And I mean, in Romans 1:20, it says, if you haven't figured it out based on looking at the stars in the sky and all this creation that God is real, you don't get it and you're without excuse. That's what that verse says. And, you know, again, Satan masquerades around as an angel of light, and Satan is continually deceiving and seducing people to believe his story and his game. He really wants to take us out. And there's a reason for that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I also told you in Ephesians chapter 6, it's about putting on the armor of God. But we got to stand up against all the schemes and strategies and deceits of the devil. Do you know that Satan knows you better than you know yourself? You know, he's been studying you your entire life. He knows your every weakness, your every shortcoming, your every shortfall. And he knows just which button to push to cause you to fail. Think about that. That's the enemy we have. And again, an enemy, he has strength because he knows your weakness. So we got to defend ourselves against our weakness. And I talked to you about why don't we swear at the devil and only at God? Why is it always that we blame God and say, "GD it," instead of "damn that devil"? Because it's not God that's trying to tear you down. It's not God that's trying to destroy you. It's the devil. And he's about that business. But here's something I want to tell you. You could say, "Damn that devil," but he's already damned. He was kicked out of heaven for what he did, and he's He is no longer powerful. He no longer has authority over you. You just have to call on the one that does have the power and the authority. We're taught in Scripture very clearly. When we're tempted by sin, submit yourself therefore unto God. Submit yourself. In other words, come under God's presence, under God's power, under His protective wing and His arm. Resist the devil. And guess what? The devil doesn't like hanging around God. So if you put yourself in that position, the Bible says the devil will flee from you. It's like, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with what you're doing right now. So if you're sitting here and Jesus said this morning and you're listening to my voice and you're being fed by the Holy Spirit, you can rest assured that Satan removed his presence from you, and he doesn't want anything to do with you while you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Which is very encouraging to me. So I talked about some of the lies that are straight from the pit of the hell, that we're all okay. And we're not all okay if we don't have Jesus in our hearts. In our hearts, not our heads, in our hearts. We got to get that journey of the Holy Spirit to go from our head 18 inches down into our heart. Because the Bible teaches me that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, we shall be saved. It's with the heart we are justified. And it's with the mouth we confess and are saved. So we get justified in our heart. And we got to understand that's where that justification comes from. But then if we're truly saved, it says we want to confess that. We want to tell somebody else, I asked Jesus into my heart, and I live for Him now. I'm no longer living for the enemy, but I'm living for the King. So I encourage you guys in that one. We talked about if you died today, what would you think? And we talked about people, you know, that fought certain things, like Darwin and Sagan. And as their life rolled on, they changed their mind. They changed their beliefs because they knew they were living lies. And I don't want you guys to live a lie your entire life and miss out on God's love. And then the other large lie is our loving God would never send anyone to hell. Well, if you're believing that, that's another lie straight from hell. Because if you read the Scriptures, you can read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read the story of Noah and the flood. There's times that God just says, you know what? I'm not putting up with this any longer. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm making a statement that I will not tolerate this. Because you got to understand that as we live our lives and we decide to live for ourselves, every time we sin, what happens? Every time we sin, what happens? We're taking another step backward away from God. God doesn't move, but we're backing up the bus. We're moving away from God. And we continue to do it our way. And here's that craftiness of the devil. You know that what you're being tempted to do is wrong. You absolutely know it. And you do it anyway. But the first time you do it, you feel really, really guilty about it, right? And the second time you do it, you feel kind of guilty about it. Well, by the time you get up to the eighth and ninth time that you did it, you don't feel so guilty. Why? Because you're all in. You bought the lie. You're living on the other side, and you're in trouble about getting back to the other side. So you've backed that bus up so far, and then all of a sudden, you realize you have no relationship with God. None. And you might as well be standing on one side of the Grand Canyon, and you look over and say, God, how did you get over there? How did you get over there? Well, God never moved, but you just hiked down into the canyon, crossed the valley, and back up the other side. And now you're on the other side looking. Well, here's the beauty of that. You're clear on the other side, but God doesn't want to leave you on the other side. God wants to come and get you. So when we were at our worst, God stood a cross up in the middle of that Grand Canyon so that beam of that cross would allow you to walk right back to the other side. And He wants you to come across and come back to Him. But as long as we're standing on the other side and saying, God, I still love you. I still care about you. He knows you're living a lie and you have no intention of changing. And it's going to be what it is. But don't believe the lie that God wouldn't send anybody to hell, because it's just not biblical. The people that are saying that have never read the Bible. The whole Old Testament is filled with God judging His own people based on their sin. and the consequences therein and the need for the change. And we got to get that right. And again, if you think you're basically a good person, you can be a relatively good person by the way the earth describes it or we describe it. But your goodness is nothing compared to God's righteousness that comes in Christ, and it won't get you into heaven. And the last lie I talked about was that all religions are okay, that it's all relative. As long as you have a religion, you're good. There's only one man that conquered death. There's only one man that rose from the dead. There's only one man that walked on water. There's only one man that could control the weather. There's only one man that could turn water into wine. There's only one man that could heal every sick person that ever came to him. All the rest of them are liars. So we talked to you about the power of the cross. And you know what? The cross either makes complete sense to you or it's foolishness to you. You're either saying, I get it. Jesus died for me. He was the perfect sacrifice. And because Jesus died, my sins are forgiven. Or you look at it and say, why would God send his son to the cross? How dumb was that? You either get it or you don't. There's no in between. But the cross does have the power to set us free, and we got to understand that. We got to understand that at our best, we're useless to God without Jesus in our hearts to make us righteous and give us the heart that God wants us to have. And he will do that. And there is none righteous, no, not one. So here's a verse in Romans 5 that I want you to understand a little bit. Christ arrives on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. Did you catch that? Christ arrived when we were at our worst. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the other lie from Satan's pit is that, well, you know what? I know I'm not living right, so when I give up my alcohol, when I stop doing this or I stop doing that, I'll let Jesus into my heart and I'll try to live for him. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, come while you are at your worst, and he will help you clean yourself up. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to wait. You don't have to continue. If you wait, it's the lie that says, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the past that said, you know, right now I'm really busy, so I can't go on a mission trip. And then they say, well, I just had kids, so I can't go on a mission trip until I have kids. Then they say, well, I'm really busy with my job, so I can't go on a mission trip. Then they say, well, I'm retired now and I just don't have the money to go. I mean, the lies never stop. If God leads you to do something, it's time to get after it. It's time to do it. Because Satan will always give you a reason why you shouldn't. And the reason he's giving you right now is you're not good enough to come to God. And you know what God says? Jesus died because you weren't good enough. And he wants to set you free and turn you around and put you on solid ground. He presented himself for the sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. There's nothing you can do to get ready to come to Jesus and say, I give in. I get it. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in a sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. You get that? Wow. Wow. When we're at our worst, God says, I'm going to do this anyway. When the enemy has convinced you, you will never change. God says, you know what? I don't believe it. I'm going to continue to send my Holy Spirit to speak to this heart. And I believe that hardest, most callous, raucous heart will be busted up and turned back into a heart of flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do in us. So here's in John chapter 8. There's a dispute over whose children Jesus' opponents are. He says, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. This verse has so much power in it, this passage, because it's talking about, guys, it's not about saying one prayer and thinking that you've arrived. It's not about graduating from catechism. It's not about being baptized once in your life. Jesus' very word said, if you hold to my teaching, if you stand firm, if you continue, if you abide, if you remain, if you stay plugged into the branch, if you get fed the bread of life by me on a daily basis, then and only then are you at a place where you're safe. And he's speaking to those that were Abraham's descendants, and they say, I don't get it. How can I still be a slave? Well, because you're still not living for me. Because you're still living the lie. You're still only part half in. You know, in reality, you're sitting right on the fence. And you know, and if your friends are going to church and talking about God, and maybe even having a Bible study, you come on over here and talk to them for a while. And then you get away from them a little bit. And then your friends want to go party or get drunk or get high or do whatever they're doing. And you say, I'm going to come over here for a while. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom of God. You're either in it or you're out of it. That fence riding's got to stop. You're either for me or you're against me. You got to choose. Are you looking for a way to kill Jesus in your own life? I mean, that's the enemy's lie. He's trying to figure out a way to kill Jesus in your life. He's trying to keep you from ever coming over to that Bible study. He's trying to keep you from ever coming to Jesus said and listening to a message like this. You know, it's amazing. You know, I think maybe that the man that I spoke to this morning might even be here. But, you know, I stopped on the street corner driving up on the highway because there was a man holding a homeless sign and asking for help, and I can understand that. But, you know, I just told him, I said, you know about Jesus said, and it surprised me because his immediate answer was, yeah, I know about Jesus said. I said, well, then come on over and get a hot meal and stay dry. You know, enjoy your morning a little bit. You know, and the reason I point this out is this isn't the first time I've done this. I've done this many a time. And many people say, no thanks. Do you really want help if you're not willing to go to a place that people love you and are willing to help you? Or are you just going to stand there for the rest of your life and hold that sign? What's it going to be? You got to be real. You got to be sincere. You got to be serious. In the book of Joshua, it came time to make decisions. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, Mike, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it for us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. You too have seen God move in a powerful way in your life. You too have had a time in your life where the devil tried to take you out and kill you. He tried to take you out and kill you. But you know somehow, some way, you lived through that night. You woke up that next day and God was there for you. That's the God we serve and that's the God we want to serve. And that's why we've got to put ourselves in a position to know Him. So it continues, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. So here again, we got a people that are saying, hey, I'm serving the Lord. But they're saying, I'm serving the Lord on my terms. I'm serving the Lord when it's convenient. I'm serving the Lord when I want to do things this way. Well, I go to church. Well, I don't use God's name in vain. Well, I don't cuss. It's not about those things. It's about being real 24/7, 365, and being sincere with God. And it's not me that's saying there's a problem with that. God's Word continuously says, if you're a phony, if you're a fraud, if you're a fake, if you're a hypocrite, God has a problem with that. God has a problem with that. You know, it doesn't matter what I tell you, because you know what? I'm one man. I didn't create the universe, and I didn't make the rules that are in the universe. But if God made you and created you and sustains you and gives you the ability to breathe, and he causes the stars to hang at night, and he causes the moon to hang at the night, he tells the sea how far to stop and not come in and destroy the world. He hangs the sun every morning to warm you, and he created you, then maybe you should think about following his rules. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. So when you put yourself in a place of blessing, you get blessed. You put yourself in a place of trial and tribulation, you get trial and tribulation. It's no more difficult than that to understand. Where are you putting yourself? And it says, if we serve foreign gods, what's a foreign god? What is your god? What's more important to you than having a relationship with Jesus? Because that's your god. This isn't about worshiping a golden idol. Maybe the bottle is your god. Maybe sex is your god. Maybe drugs is your god. What is your god that you're serving today? Maybe it's prescription medication that you know you don't need. I believe in prescription medication, so I'm not telling anybody that's been prescribed something by a doctor is wrong. But if you know you made up the reasons that you need it and you're taking it for that reason, maybe you need to figure that out. He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, you are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord God. What are you saying in your heart? Or are you hanging on to that thing that you think matters that's really not big and important to you? What are you doing? What's it all about? I want to tell you that God loves you. And that God wants to do this for you if you put yourself in a place for him to do it. In 2 Corinthians, it says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. In other words, we have a compassionate Heavenly Father who wants to comfort us, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in his sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you shall share in our comfort. There's another lie in America that says that if you become a Christian, everything's going to be good. Your life's going to get better. Your bank account's going to go up. Lies from the pit of hell. It's not in my Bible. This scripture says you're going to suffer. Beware in James, anyone who lives godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. We are going to have times where we're going to be challenged and threatened because of what we believe in. And we've got to be willing to go through it because we know we're better to go through it than to go back to the hell we came from. If our inheritance is perfect peace, why so often do we feel like a perfect mess? Because we're not plugged into that vine that gives us the perfect peace, my friends. We got to be plugged into that. What you cannot do with your own physical strength and power, God can do. When you're sitting here right now saying, man, what he's saying makes sense. I really wish I could do that. God's here to tell you, you can do it. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will help you do it. He will help you lay down your weakness. He will help you lay down your greatest vice. And he will give you the opportunity to pick up his word, his strength, his power, his might, his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, goodness, and self-control. And transform all those other things in you. Your anger, your envy, your hatred. And take them out of your life. And give you a fresh start if you want one. But you got to make that decision that as for me and my house, as for me and my life, we will serve the Lord. He can give you victory over whatever your greatest sin is. Whatever it is, he can give you victory. And he wants to give you victory. In Romans 8, it says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? You get that? God is on your side. But are you on God's side? Because there's two sides. There's absolutely two sides. And you are either for Him or you're against Him. You're either fighting in His army or you're fighting against His army. And there's no in between. And if you think there's in between, you're lying. You're lying. It's not the way it works. In 2 Corinthians, it says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we are not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, He does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake. And it just goes on and on to say, you know, whether it's homelessness, whatever it is you're going through, God's going through it with you. And He wants to be there with you the whole time. And you got to understand, He never forsook you. He still loves you. He still cares about you. And He still wants to do a work in your life. We can't do it on our own. And we will not change without the Holy Spirit giving us strength and leading us away from these temptations. In Romans 7, it says, I can anticipate the response that's coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I am full of myself. After all, I spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. You've been in jail so long that you only know one way to act. It's time for the prison door to be opened. It's time for the chains to be left behind. It's time to learn a new way to act if you want to have a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus wants to have that relationship with you, my friends. He absolutely wants to have that relationship with you. In Psalm 139, it basically makes it clear there is no place you can go to get away from God. No matter how hard you try to get away from God, no matter how much the devil tries to kill Him, guess what? He's alive and well, and He's going to continue to do His work, whether the world wants Him to or not. Whether the world wants Him to or not. You know, Jesus was a carpenter, and I always was amazed by that, because we're just like this lump of wood that's just a rough piece of wood. And you know what? Jesus looks at that piece of wood, and He looks at it, says, now, this is supposed to be created in My image, and this is what I want this to look like. So He starts carving away at that piece of wood. Guess what? Carving kind of hurts sometimes. When pieces are cut out. As Jesus starts carving, all of a sudden He's done. And then He starts polishing. And then all of a sudden you look at that piece of wood, and what was ugly and what was rough and what was wicked is now smooth. And it's beautiful because it's in His image and what He wants for you. Guys, we got to get this figured out. We got to continually walk in His love and be imitators of Him. But, you know, there's a passage, there's two passages here I want to talk about as I'm wrapping this up. I go to Jamaica every year on a mission trip. We go to Jamaica and we minister to the orphans and the poor. And one of the songs they have over in Jamaica is about Jesus. And it's really precious when you hear young people sing it. And I'm trying to remember the words because I don't want to mess this up. But it basically goes, if I had a wee little box, I'd put my Jesus in. And then I'd take Him out and I'd kiss Him and I'd put Him back again. And you know, that's beautiful that somebody loved Jesus enough that they want to take Him out of a box and they want to kiss Him. But this is how we live our lives. We put Jesus in a wee little box. And Jesus made this world. He doesn't belong in a box. And you can't take Him out and just kiss Him on your own terms when it's convenient for you. He needs to stay out of that box and influence your life all the time. You can't say, today, Jesus, I want to kiss you and I want to love you and I want to say thanks for everything You did for me. And tomorrow, live like hell again. You got to get Jesus out of the box and you got to leave Him out of the box. But one of the points that I tried to mention in my 4 points was that God doesn't hear every prayer. You know, when we read 2 Chronicles 7:14, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. There's a process here. But you know, also I want you to understand, he said, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. He's writing this to people that know him. So as a Christian, if I want my prayers to be heard, I got to make sure I'm not living in a way that defiles the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, I got to make sure that I'm willing to humble myself, pray, seek his face. And if there's any sin in my life, that I'm turning from that wicked way and headed toward God. And then again in John chapter 9, it says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear from those who worship him and do his will. The man replied, this is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind and has never been heard of, ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. You know, this is the man that was born blind from... He was born blind, so he's blind his entire life. Jesus passes by him one day and touches him and heals him. And you know, the people, they would say, well, that's because he had sin in his life, or that's because his parents had sin in their life. And it had nothing to do with that. Jesus said, this one was saved because when I touch this one, I'm going to show the world that I heal people because I love them. And I open blind people's eyes, not because of the sin in their life, but because I choose to. And so we got to be obedient and let God do that work in us too. But my point is, you can't put Jesus in a box and pull him out and say, Jesus, today I really had a bad day and I really screwed up. You know, I just wanted to talk to you about my day and ask you to help me. I mean, look at the mess I've made. And you hadn't talked to Jesus in 6 months. And all of a sudden you think he's a Santa Claus God that's just going to parade in, drop off some presents and go again. Then you're going to put him back in the box. I could read you another 50 scriptures that says he's not going to hear your voice unless you're sincere with him. But he knows when you're sincere. So if today is the day of salvation, if today is the day you're going to get real with God, if today is the day that you say, as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord, and you come to this altar, he's going to hear that prayer. He's going to listen to those words. He's going to transform your heart. He's going to put a new heart in you and set you on a new path. But you've got to make that choice. And he said, when we make that choice, you shouldn't be ashamed of that. You should say, I want that more than anything. I don't want to go to hell. And I realize now I've tried it my way for 10, 20, 50, 60 years, and I've screwed it up. I can't get this right. Jesus can help you make it right. Get him out of the box. Get him out of the box and get real with him. And you will never, ever regret it. I became a Christian 40 years ago. My life hasn't been completely easy by any stretch of the imagination. I have problems. I have sickness. I have illness. I've lost jobs. I've run the gamut myself, okay? But I haven't turned my back on the one that's blessed me. And I know I'm only training for eternity. And there's no better choice I could ever make. And there's no better choice you could ever make. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your word going forth. I pray that it went forth with power and clarity, Lord. Because it's not about what I said. But Lord, I've read many, many scriptures straight from your word. And you've promised your word will not return void. It will pierce. It will cut asunder. It will transform. It will change people's lives. Hide that word in their heart that they might not sin against you, Lord. Use that word, Lord, so that when they have to make a choice between the lie that the devil's telling them and what they should do versus what you want them to do to get right with you, that they choose you. May there be those that say, today I've been screwing up. I've been trying to do it my own way. And they want to come and just make peace with you. May there be those that maybe make a first-time profession, say, never understood it until I heard it this morning and now I get it. I want to come and be right with you. So Lord, we open up this altar. We thank you for everyone in this room. We thank you that you love them, that you made them, that you care for them, that you haven't given up on them, that you haven't forsaken them, and that you want to have a personal relationship with them. You want to be a friend with them. But you know what? It takes two to be a friend. May they choose this day to be a friend of God. May they choose this day to come and stand beside you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Derek, your excuse.